Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, April 3rd, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're in Chapter 7, page 101, in Working with Others, starting with the second paragraph, beginning with, In Our Belief, Any Scheme. We'll be reading this one paragraph only, and it ends in, To do the impossible have always failed. So we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Dory P. for the 12 steps, Pam M. for the 12 traditions. The readers of our text are Brandy M., Jordan L., and Julie E. B. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R. and Don B. for our announcements. And Lynn S. is recording us. Thank you all for your service. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, April 2nd, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,361. That's 14361. And the share ID for this morning's, our Friday, April 3rd, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,364. That's 14364. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Not suffer, but suffer. Sorry about that. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Dory P. to read our 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Dory. Star 1 to unmute, please. Dory?
Good morning, Yara. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
And thank you, Dory. And now Pam M. will read our 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. Blessed morning, everyone. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundations of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. This is Pam M. in upstate New York signing off.
Well, thank you, Pam M., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This means this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted, and that does include your own personal mute button, so we ask that you don't use that, but to use the star 1 to mute and unmute. That way we have a nice quiet meeting, and we appreciate your cooperation on that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 101, and we're in the second paragraph, and that starts with, in our belief, any scheme. And now we'll have Brandy M. Reed. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. My name is Brandy M. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Alberta, Canada. In our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to fail. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. We have tried these methods. These attempts to do the impossible have always failed. So any plan to combat my desire to overcome my food addiction that shields me from the temptation will always fail. That's been my experience through and through. I've been doing this deal in OA for 25 years, going to meetings, working the steps, the way that I thought that I should work them rather than the way it's outlined. Take what I want and leave the rest with something I heard a lot, and I thought that applied to the steps and, you know, the things I didn't want to do that people would tell me to do. And relying on the fellowship for support, so dieting with group support was a big part of my story. So my experience with abstinence was the periods I stayed abstinent became shorter and shorter and, you know, never really had that long-term recovery. I remember being in the program thinking recovery meant I had to stay home from events because I was afraid to lose my abstinence. When I would go out and be around my alcoholic foods, I could not be present. I was so wrapped up in the thought of how I was not going to pick up those foods. Sometimes at the party, I was able to not do it, but you can bet when I would get in my car, the urge that I felt during that party came out, and I would stop at drive-thrus and 7-Elevens to settle me. I needed that sense of ease and comfort, and that I only knew came from the food. I would do things like I wouldn't keep food in my house. I would make everyone clean out. I wouldn't let Doritos come into my house. My husband loved them, and I wouldn't let them come into my house. So I tried to shield in so many different ways. What I now know is once an entire psychic change has occurred as a result of the steps, I no longer have to rely on my own unsteady willpower. God has me, and I am free to go wherever I want, wherever my alcoholic foods are. No schemes or plans not to pick up are needed as long as I let God run the show. Today I'm free to bake with my children. I have chocolate in my home, go to restaurants where my alcoholic foods are, and I react sanely around the food. God makes that possible. I enjoy life and social activities. I'm present and think about how I can be of service with my peers instead of thinking about the food when I'm walking into a situation. Neutrality with food will come as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. What I would say to a sponsee, if they are struggling to, you know, when having to make the arrangements and limit their life to avoid food, they've missed something in the step process. The other question I would look at is, are we still eating any of our alcoholic foods? Because I had to get brutally honest with what was an alcoholic food, because when I'm continuing to trigger the allergy, it makes it impossible to stay abstinent. And as long as, you know, there's no neutrality if we're still triggering the allergy. And so I just know for myself today, you know, life is very different. It looks very different. And it took me a long time to get here. But now knowing the gift of this program, you know, when I'm wanting food, there's something else up. Food's not my problem. So right. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Brandy. Thank you for getting us started this morning. So just reminding everybody, we're on page 101, the second paragraph, in our belief, any scheme. It ends with, impossible have always failed. So who would like to share this morning?
Michelle.
And L.
Okay, I heard
Liz
Michelle.
PM.
Okay, I heard
Liz.
Michelle J. And I heard a
Heather
kind of,
W.
Okay, I heard Janice PM. Who else?
Dan L.
Dan? Is that Dan
Sima
L?
M.
Yes.
Gotcha, Dan.
Heather
E.B.?
Did I hear Julie E.B. in that mix?
You did.
Okay.
Did you hear Sima?
Was that Sima?
Yes.
Oh, hi there, Sima.
Heather,
what's the first initial of your last name?
M.
M, yes. All right. So I have my lineup here. I've got Michelle J., Janice P.M., Dan L., Julie E.B., and Sima M., and I'll get you on the next round. We have another round coming. So,
yeah,
Michelle
sure,
yeah. J., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Janice P.M. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning to all of you. Michelle J. here, checking in from Arkansas. So, any Hoosers, just thinking about the schemes that we have this morning and understanding our melody, I just wanted to, this thing popped into my head, and I wanted to share it. I hope it's helpful for anybody, including myself. You know, as a newborn, and on into life, we have feelings. These babies have things that need to be met. We're hungry, and so we cry. We want to eat. We cry because we want to be loved. I just need to be held. I just need to hear a heartbeat. And then, you know, as a baby, I need comfort. I need my diapers changed. I'm teething. Something's pinching me. These needs become a lifetime of schemes or methods that we use to try to alleviate these things that we came with into the world. And as OAers, we tend to use food mostly. So in the spiritual awakening, in the 12 steps, there really is a higher power who can shield us from these schemes that we create. You know, just like a baby's parents should take care of them and fulfill these needs, we can trust in that, in those parents, hopefully, but we can trust in this higher power, this all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful, all-trustworthy. Okay, this higher power is the only one who has the answer for our human condition, and our human condition is we are overeating and or other harmful eating behaviors and disorders. And just to get that, you know, into my head and into others' head, you know, sometimes I just go, why? What's going on? I forget in my program. And, it, you know, from birth, we're born with these needs. And we can, through working the 12 steps, get to the spiritual awakening and hopefully stop the scheming. Stop it, because we can't do it. And I forget constantly. And I had to remind myself, and hopefully reminding all of you, that we're born with it, but there is a higher power who can deal with it. And with that, I'll pass.
Michelle J. Janice P.M., you're up, followed by Dan L. Good morning, Janice.
Well, good morning to you, Sherry K.B. Thank you for your service. My goodness, I know it. You have to have 3 years to hear the names. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm from Boston. And I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. In our belief, well, who are they talking about at this stage of the game? They're talking about those of us that are recovered, which means we have gone through these steps and found the solution of a power greater than us. It's not their opinion. It's their experience. We all have opinions on how to do this, how to do that, what method I use. I got this diet. I did this thing. I didn't do that thing to make me keep from stopping, from starting to eat again. That was my problem. I could stop. Sure, I had the power to stop, but I didn't have the power to stop from starting again. That was my problem. See, and I was trying to combat my disease. What does that mean? To fight it off, to prove and give myself the solution. But you see, as a recovered woman, and those that are recovered, and those that wrote this book, you can't do this shield. You can't. You don't have the shield. You don't have the armor. My illness is that we're fighting a war, just like we're fighting a war today with the virus. We're fighting a war with this illness that I have, and the only shield that's going to go on my head and in my heart to shield me from this illness is a higher power, whom I choose to call God, that I found through these 12 steps. Most of us have stopped thousands of times. But what happens? It was temporary. Because what I did was just to think that it was the food was the problem. The amount was the problem. Oh, you know, this or that. That's the scheme. That's the method. I had thousands of them. And some of them worked, but not for a long time. But of course, I forgot about the other part of my problem, which was my mind. That's what I couldn't fix. That's what the 12 steps have done for me. That's the shield. He's the shield to stop me one day at a time. As long as I keep doing this, listening to you people, practicing the steps every day, then I will never fail for today. Okay, but I always failed before when I tried my darndest not to. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks, Sherry.
Janice PM. Dan L., you're up, followed by Julie EB. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, this is Dan. I'm a compulsive overeater from Bend, Oregon. Before I came into Overeaters Anonymous, my house was always empty of food, and I was morbidly obese. And people would come over, family, friends, whatever. Not a lot, but you know when they did, you know. And I said, God damn, there's no food in your house. Your house is empty, you know. But yet I was morbidly obese. And when I would go out and eat with people, I would never overeat in front of anybody. You know, how could this be? Anyways, it's not that way anymore. You know, there's food in my house. The pantry has food. The refrigerator has food. There's food on the counter, you know, and I cook my food every day. And when I was new, I would go grocery shopping, you know, and I got right into the steps as soon as I could, almost right away. But when I was new, I would go through the grocery store and I was afraid to look at the, you know, the sales on Cap'n Crunch and stuff like that. You know, like it was a Twilight Zone episode and I was going to be drawn into that box, you know, and be stuck in there forever and never be able to get out of Cap'n Crunch. But it's not that way anymore. And I belonged to a monthly poker group, you know, and we had a potluck for an hour and then we played poker for a few hours, you know, and I was nervous about doing that the first time. But, you know, I called the host. We move it around. And the host always cooks the main course. And everybody else brings something else. And I called the host and I told her what was going on with me. And she supported me. And I brought a fruit tray. Wow. Everybody gobbled it up. And every month since, I bring a fruit tray and everybody gobbles it up, you know. And afterwards, I called a couple people when I was newly abstinent, you know, couple of OAers because they wanted to know how it went because I was nervous. And I learned how to be around food again. And this part of the book, around page 100, 101, it's a great part of the book to always read around the holidays or birthdays and stuff like that, you know? And when I came in, like I said, I started working the steps and working with God. And that makes it possible to be around food again. We cannot hide from it. You know, it is around. You know, that Captain Crunch is there. And just because somebody says that word, a specific food in a meeting or something, you know, it's not going to trigger anything in me, you know. Anyways, thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Captain Dan. And Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Sema M. Good morning, Julie. Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs, where we have a nice snow on the ground. It is our belief that any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man is doomed to failure. So some of these schemes, as we talk about, are things that I did, and I had many, many, many tens of thousands of dollars, and I had many schemes, and paid medical management to the extent that I lost my uterus when I lost weight so fast that my fibroid grew out of control. I mean, if an alcoholic tries to steal, it might succeed for a time, and that was my experience. I could succeed for a time, but if I'm pressing it down, there's going to be a bigger explosion than ever. And so instead of pushing on it, you know, when you push on a door, it goes further away from you. That's how my disease was for me. And so I can name a lot of methods, and I think it's real helpful, you know, as working the steps to go through and think about all those kinds of methods I tried. But this is an impossible task, and these efforts to do the impossible have always failed. And so I'm just very thankful today that these impossible methods have failed, because when they fail, that's when I was able to let my higher power get bigger and be as loving towards me as my higher power was towards other people, and also get smaller and more personal and get in between me and my crazy thinking. And so I'm so thankful that these methods have failed, because that's the beginning for me. And so if these things are failing, if you feel like a failure, reach out today, make a call, get a sponsor, work one-on-one, get through the book, get through the steps, because there's something more there for you. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And before we hear from Sema M., I'm just reminding everyone where we're at. We're on page 101. We're in the second paragraph, and our belief any scheme ending in impossible have always failed. To do impossible have always failed. So as soon as we hear from Sema M., I'll take some more. We'll go on our second round. Good morning, Sema.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's really good to hear you. This is Sema, grateful grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery. Sorry, a little tongue-tied. This paragraph is so powerful. I haven't been on Vision in a while because all the local meetings are having phone meetings, and I just felt like getting on today. And this paragraph, I guess it didn't jump out at me 43 years ago when I first came into OA, because I was learning all about the steps, studying the big book.
Mom, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I don't know if it's you, but there's a television in the background. I don't know if that's someone else on the line. If they could please mute their phone so we can hear Sema, that would be great. Sorry, Sema, please go ahead.
Okay. Let me try to go in another room because it could be my husband.
Okay, thank you.
Radio. Is that better? Is that better? Can I be heard now?
Thanks, Sema. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Anyway,
40-something years ago, I came into OA, and I was immediately involved with a big book study group that was being led by someone in AA who was also in OA. But I didn't, this paragraph all of a sudden today hits me, because at the time, I, being a person of my own will, I decided that the best food plan for me was going to be this one where I just had liquid protein and the doctor gave it to me. And I said, according to the definition of abstinence then, it was a food plan not of my own. Well, I was on that for 4.5 months, and I lost all the weight. And I was getting crazier and crazier, but I didn't know that until I thought I was working the steps. I thought I was working the program. But now, today, 40-something years later, when I read this paragraph, in our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to failure. And that's what I was doing. I didn't have to deal with food for 4.5 months. I thought that I was walking on water, living the life that I always dreamed I would have. And I may have thought that I was working the steps, but I was shielding myself from temptation. And I always wondered what was wrong with that food plan, and now I know. For today, I have sanity and 12 steps to shield myself from temptation, because temptation is all around, and I have no power except for the power that I get in this program through all of you and through these steps. This is keeping me sane a day at a time. Living these steps is keeping me sane in this day and age of insanity, and I'm just very grateful to connect back up with Vision today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And again, we're on page 101, the second paragraph. Who would like to share this morning?
Hello,
I am.
Oh,
Okay. All right.
Laura.
I think I heard, did I hear you this morning, Roz? Maybe I didn't. I'm here.
Audrey M.P.
Okay, I heard
Audrey.
I heard an Audrey P.
Okay.
I think I heard, did I hear Kara L.?
Sari C.
Margo.
Okay,
Heather
I heard, w. hold on a second, you, please hold
Karen.
On. I heard a Terry and I heard a Margo. Did I hear a Margo?
Yes, ma'am.
Carol.
Okay, hold
Carol
on. Margo, what's the first initial of your last name?
B.
D as in David?
B as in boy.
B as in boy, thank you. Okay, I heard
Carol.
A Margo.
Michelle.
Carol. Okay, that was Carol. Okay, I heard a Carol
yeah.
L.
Heather
Carol.
Okay. You guys, hold on. I heard a Terry. Did I hear a Terry?
Surrey C?
Is that Surrey C or Surrey?
Yeah, Surrey.
Is that S?
Yes, with an S.
Okay, is that Surrey C? Okay, thanks, Surrey. Okay, and I think I heard Darren K. Did I hear that?
Carol K.
Carol. No, I heard, I think I already got a Carol.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, all right. So I didn't hear Darren K. So I can take two more. Keep going, folks.
Heather
I'll try
Heather
to hear you.
Heather W.
Michelle.
Okay, I heard a Heather W.
Marilyn T.
And a Marilyn
Lynn
T.
Lynn F.
And did I hear Lynn F?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to try to get you in there, Lynn, depending on how many we have, okay? So this is who I have, Audrey P., Carol R., excuse me, Carol K., Sherry C., Margot B., Heather W., Marilyn T., and Lynn F. And if I got the first and last initial wrong, please let me know. So Audrey P., you're up, followed by Carol K. Go ahead, Audrey. Good morning. Are you there, Audrey? Star 1 to unmute, please. Okay.
Good morning. Good morning. I know I can be heard. Good morning, and thank you everybody for being on the call and for the moderator and everyone of service in this meeting. I didn't jot down the name of the woman who opened the meeting with the reading, but I really appreciate what I heard about the shields and what I used to do to stay abstinent. I'm 26 years recovered from bulimia, and I know I have some freedom, because during this during this quarantine, and you know, I have more food in my house than I'm really comfortable. And I remember when I had no food in my house, and relating to the people, the shields and the things that we did, and I was like, wow, I have a lot of food in the house, and it's food that I can eat, and abstinent, lovely food. But that thought, you know, that thought of overeating. I'm in the middle of the steps. I'm in the middle of the fourth step. It's unpleasant to, you know, I don't know if fourth step is ever really pleasant. Like, I just want to be free. I want that freedom that I heard. I could never bake cookies without licking the spoon. I couldn't do a lot of things. So I don't have all the neutrality, which is why I keep coming back. My share is short, and I appreciate the time. I just, and also what I heard, there's no neutrality when we continue to eat our alcoholic food. And so far I haven't been willing to give up anything that's on my food plan from my nutritionist. And I hope one day that I can be free from some of the things that still make my mouth sing. You know, I was told if my mouth is singing, I probably shouldn't be eating it, but I do, and I have, and are they alcoholic foods? I don't know. It's something more to be revealed, and I can't wait to get through this work, and I'm pushed by my sponsor, who I appreciate and adore, for her attention to me and my recovery, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Audrey P. Carol K., you're up, followed by Sherry C. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for leading the meeting. My name is Carol. I'm a compulsive overeater and many other things, making progress for this moment. Before I came into OA, I tried every diet. I lost the weight that I gained to pass. My favorite diet was the Mignana diet. I'd start tomorrow. You know, I'll start it tomorrow, sure. I never did. When I came into OA in the late 70s, they told me what to do, and I did it. I lost the weight. I got a sponsor. I did what I had to do. I did service. But still, you know what? I relapsed. And every time I relapsed, you know, I wouldn't come back into the room, and they say, you know, well, keep coming back, it works. So I didn't want to keep on coming back. I was too embarrassed. But I'll get to today. Today I am working the program. In the beginning of the book it said we. I used to make it a me program, not a we program. But today it is a we program. I'm in this together with every other person that's on the line. I have a sponsor. I'm going to be going on my fourth step, and I really can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it, because today I'm doing anything that they tell my sponsor, when I listen to other people, I take their suggestions and I try it, you know, and that works for me. I do write down my food. I like to see it written down, and I send it to my sponsor. I'm accountable for it. I do have a higher power who I call Hashem, which is Hebrew for God. I was exercising, but, you know, my gym closed down. I was going to say something else. I'm just very grateful I get. You know, even though I am Jewish, I get down on my knees in the morning and the evening, and I pray. I pray for a lot of things, you know, for other people, because, you know, I need to pray for other people, then I can pray for myself. I really get to almost be 73 if I make it. I lose my train of thought. So I'm just very grateful. You know, for the program. Oh, I can bake. And before I start doing that, I have a big bowl of soapy hot water. When I'm done with everything, I just throw it in there. So anyhow, my name is Carol. I'm from Michigan. Do I give my telephone number now?
Not till the end. Thanks, Carol. We'll do it after we do the Serenity Prayer. Thanks so much for your share.
Okay. Thank you very
much. Thank you. Welcome.
For allowing me to share.
And Sherry C., you're up, followed by Margot B. Sherry C., good morning.
Hi. Good morning. This is Sherry C., S-U-R-I, C., compulsive overeater. Wow, this paragraph. I was like, how could I possibly share? And I opened up the big book, and I found that I had written and underlined this book a year ago. And I felt like I was, when I saw that, I was more hopeful because I know that I'm not where I want to be. I know that I don't have abstinence. I know that I'm working towards complete abstinence. But I know that I have more moments of abstinence than I ever had before because I continue to show up. Because every time I listened to a Visions for You meeting and I silently ate through the entire meeting out of anger, I knew that if I kept coming back, I would be able to not eat through the whole meeting out of anger or frustration. And belief is schemes that we propose to shield the sick man from temptation, they're doomed. I've thought of so many different schemes, but the truth is that I need to just let go. My ex-husband somehow convinced my children to, under my nose, that I was keeping them hostage here, and I know that I'm a good mother. And I know that it's because of the work that I've done this past year that I'm a good mother, and I still have to ask myself, well, why did they leave? And the only bit of, just like I came back to this program, and I keep coming back, I know that the day will come when they do come back. And I'm not crying right now as I speak because I've been doing a lot of work to get myself here, but there have been days of crying, and there have been days of nonstop eating. But I have not been eating myself through this. I've been crying and praying through this, and that fear of emotion and fear of facing the question. I could blame my ex-husband. I could blame my children, but I really need to focus on myself. This is a program of abstinence. This is my program. This is me and God. And I have to let go and let God. And that is something that I hear from so many people who are not on this line, but it is true for me. I have to let go of the food, and I have to cling to this program, and I have to cling to God. And the years, I hear so many people who have so many years of abstinence, and I go, how is that even possible? Because you know what? It's possible because they kept coming back. Just keep coming back, because I have a year of non-abstinence. I have maybe a year and a half of non-abstinence, but I keep coming back, and that's what's keeping me and holding me through all of this. So keep coming back. It's worth it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sherry C. Margot B., you're up, followed by Heather W. Good morning, Margot B.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is my first time at this phone meeting. I don't even recall ever being on a phone meeting for OA. I'm just grateful to be here, claim my seat. I can't even tell you how long it's been at an actual OA meeting, although I do work other programs. And what came to my hi, my name is Margot. I'm a compulsive overeater. And the thing that keeps bouncing in my head is my attempt to control, You know, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z because the outcome is going to be A, B, and C. This delusion of control, the lack of boundaries between me and food, between me and people. Oh. And over the past few days, I had to remind myself, by God's mercy and by God's grace, because it's certainly not me, you know, one is too many, 100's not enough. I don't know how long it took me to even understand that statement. I heard it for years. I never knew what it meant. And by God's mercy and by God's grace, oh, my gosh, it just, like, hit me right between the eyes, you know. I had to turn my food over. I made sure I turned it over to my food sponsor. I just feel like, I guess, you know, I know I work other programs. I just, it's like such a full-time job. I'm starting to feel so broken, you know. And so, and of course, I feel struck fat, you know? I don't know, just the body image crap. And I just want to stop putting the focus on me and just keep my focus on God. I learned a long time ago in the rooms of OA, God, let me see myself through your eyes. That was the prayer that was shared in my group when I used to go in the mornings. And it's just, I don't know why it's so hard to stay focused on that. And then all these feelings come up. My default is, I'm happy, eat. I'm sad, eat. I'm tired, eat. Yada, 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 eat, eat. It's like, I can't. That's not where God wants me to be for today, you know? And I just want to focus on my relationship with God, know that I'm a child of God, and that my scheming and my attempt to control is just a delusion. And I keep just doing my part, and I don't know if it's my part or not, but if I don't get up and try, you know, I have to let go of the results, stop using recovery as a straitjacket, and wear life and recovery as a loose garment, as my sponsor says, which, of course, I want to claw and just tighten everything and have all my ducks in a row. And it's just, that's just not how life is, and that's okay. And just the fear and the selfishness, the self-centeredness, and the delusion of controlling. Mm-hmm. I'm just so grateful to be here. Thank you all.
And thank you, Margot B. Heather W., you're up, followed by Marilyn T. Good morning, Heather.
Hey, Heather W., right? Hey,
yep,
everyone.
We got
this
you.
Is Heather W., recovered compulsive eater in Baltimore. So grateful to be on the meeting. So grateful for the opportunity to share. Whew, this paragraph, it just hits me. You know, in our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism, which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation, is doomed to failure. What was my shield? For so long, my shield was OA. You know, I sat in OA rooms for 5 years thinking, well, if I go to enough meetings, that'll be a good enough shield. If I call a bunch of people, that'll be enough shield. If I talk to my sponsor all the time, that'll be a good enough shield. You know, and these are great things to use and can help us, but they won't be a shield. You know, sooner or later, I succeeded for a time, but sooner or later, I ended up with a bigger explosion. And my explosion was a binge. You know, I'd be right back into the food. I did that for over 5 years in OA. And then listened to Vision, got a recovered sponsor. And my sponsor really, she burst my bubble. And she told me, well, you haven't been absent. You've been on the OA diet. And I was so offended. I was like, excuse me? I've been in this program longer than you. And then, you know, I really heard. And that's exactly what I had been doing. You know, I've been trying to use all these program tools, which are great and can help us, but they won't be my shield. And now what do I have? I have complete neutrality. I have the 10-step promises. You know, it doesn't call to me. I'm not running from temptation. I am not tempted. You know, I can sit around a table full of people eating and drinking, whatever, and I have total freedom. And it's because 100% I put down my alcoholic foods. 100%. You know, if I just put it down 90% still, it's going to call to me. It does not call to me. You know, I've been able to bring whatever sugar thing to a party. Other people eat it, enjoy it. It's not my food. I might bring my own food if I need to. You know, that's fine. My husband, he loves sugar. Big sweet tooth. That's fine. You know, you can enjoy it. I didn't even talk to him about it. You know, it's just I'm safe and protected. It's those 10-step promises. So I'm just so, so grateful because, you know, for so long, abstinence for me, it was a fight. You know, it was a fight. It was me white-knuckling a boxing match, you know. And now it's just so smooth and easy. So I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather W. And Marilyn T., you're up, and we'll try to get – Lynn F. N. Go ahead, Marilyn. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you, Sherry KB, my sunshine. This is Marilyn T., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. So things that stick out to me is shielding the sick man from temptation, doomed to failure, and the last sentence, these attempts to do the impossible have always failed. And I can remember my history in OA, which was, you know, my first successful thing, which was a very restrictive OA program. It had a definite abstinence. It had definite food you ate, et cetera. So really at the beginning, it was just white knuckle abstinence, which somebody just mentioned, which was true. I mean, that was just avoidance, and that it just did not, it worked for a time. Everything works for a time, but it doesn't work forever because I am the sick man. Without dealing with what is making me sick, any scheme is doomed to failure. It will never work. Only work in the 12 steps out of this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous has ever given me the neutrality over food that I sought so valiantly for, where I can go anywhere, do anything, and I am safe and protected only with the real power, which comes from my higher power. I never had any power. Otherwise, I wouldn't be almost 66 and, you know, just finally getting that clue, okay? So that's what this program, this way of working the big book, this way of entire abstinence has worked for me, and also by helping other people. If I don't live in 10, 11, and 12, I'm not going to stay abstinent. If I don't grow, I'm not going to live in this abstinence. I thank you so much. I want to pass and let the next person speak also. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Lynn F., you'll be the last one to share. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. Excuse me. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. This phrase, this line really speaks to me. In our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism. I'm referring now to my character defects. This is for me. I'm referring to my character defects. I can't change me. And the schemes that I tried, the positive affirmations, like holding the mirror up, I used to feel like Romper Room, you know, and saying all these positive affirmations. Or I'm one of those people that act as if has never worked for me because I lied my whole life and pretended to be somebody I wasn't. So acting as if does not work for me. But I do know the ideals that God wants for me and the ideals that I want for myself. And I know when it's pointed out to me again and again and again, Lynn, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Always reminds me of Dr. Bob, you know, and that erring member of the tongue. And there's so many, the fear that used to grip me. And no matter how many times I'd say, now, Lynn, you know, there's really no fear here and it's all right, that wouldn't make a difference. What does make a difference? So all the schemes and the positive affirmations and this meditation group and that meditation group doesn't matter. What I found did matter is working the steps. And I must say, too, I have never in program gotten anything by working at it. I don't work at my sarcasm. I don't work at my bluntness. I don't work at my tone of voice. What I do work is I work the steps the way they're outlined in the book. And in working the steps, I get closer to God. And as I get closer to God, that allows Him to remove from me what's blocking me from Him, which are my character defects. And I don't even know they're gone until I turn around and I think, wow, I can't believe those words came out of my mouth. And in that tone, where did that compassion and kindness come from? Not from me. It's the grace of God which is able to come through me because I'm working the steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynette. So that's about all the time we have for sharing. I'm going to leave a little room for the newcomers to come in after we close with the Serenity Prayer. So before we do that, I just want to take the time to thank Team Friday. And it was a great meeting today. Thank you for all your wonderful shares. Glad you're here. Please come back on Monday. We look forward to hearing you. And with that, let's see here. Oops, timer. Okay, so we're going to now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jordan L., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Jordan? Star 1 to unmute, Jordan? Jordan L.? Can I be heard? Good morning,
okay.
Sherry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, Jordan. Go ahead, please. Page 164.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cool. My name is Jordan Allen. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.